Welcome in to World Soccer Talk Radio here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Nate Abaurea. Tweet me with the love mail and the hate mail that you were far too good at sending at NateWST. Get a hold of all of us at World Soccer Talk. Thanks for subscribing to us on iTunes. Leave us a review when you get a chance. It really does help us out. You can also subscribe to us on TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and of course, WorldSoccerTalk.com. Giovanni Savarese is going to be with us today. That's right, the manager of the New York Cosmos and a man who has got some deep New York soccer roots. He was also a Venezuelan international. We'll talk to Giovanni about his pathway into coaching, talk about the Cosmos' recent title in the North American Soccer League's Soccer Bowl. We'll talk about his playing career, which took him, among other places, to Swansea City. And for those of you familiar with the From a Jack to a King documentary, you know about that time period in the late 90s, early 2000s, and what was going on at Swansea City. Well, Giovanni was a man who actually played at Swansea City during that time period. So we'll talk to him about all things Swans during his time in Wales and tie it right back to New York City. Again, this man bleeds New York City soccer. Giovanni Savarese will be with us on the other side of the break. Gotta open the show with a little trip to Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago nil, the United States nil. Scoreless, 0-0, whatever you want to call it. It was a fitting way to end 2015, in my humble opinion, for the U.S. men's national team. And as we deal with all this hyperbole this morning and this afternoon and the hysteria of the Klinsmann haters and the Klinsmann defenders and Klinsmann this, Jurgen that, we're just not that good right now, okay? And a lot of people are going to be so pissed off hearing me say this. We're just not that good right now. We're not that much better than Trinidad and Tobago. Jurgen this, Jurgen that, Jurgen this, Jurgen that. There is so much parity in CONCACAF right now. There's more parity in the CONCACAF region than ever before. And I would like for all of you to have a little historical perspective and realize that in the grand scheme of things, we're still babies, okay? And we're going through some growing pains. Yeah, I would love to see some systematic change. There are a lot of things that I would like to see different with our youth national teams and with our systems of player development and all the way up to the senior team. There are a lot of things that I'd like to see change, but I'll throw it to you this way before we head to our first break here on World Soccer Talk Radio. If you can't tell me about anything with the U.S. men's national team before, say, the 2010 World Cup, shut the hell up and just root for your country. Okay? Capiche? Thank you. We're back after this on World Soccer Talk Radio. Be historically conscious. It's good for your health. Stay tuned. Welcome back into World Soccer Talk Radio here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Nate Abaurea, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to be joined in this edition of the show by Giovanni Savarese, the victorious manager of the New York Cosmos Soccer Bowl champions. Giovanni, thank you so much for coming on.
It is my pleasure to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. So, Soccer Bowl champs, you beat the Ottawa Fury in a very, very emotional and quite beautiful match, if I may say, on Sunday. So, champions, have you been able to exhale yet, Giovanni?
First, I appreciate for saying that was an entertaining match, and I definitely believe so. It was an exciting night at our stadium, and of course, when you finish on top and you win the championship after putting so much work during the year, more than anything, you feel calmness and now time that you can relax and for a few days. And so that definitely is a good feeling for the work that everybody has put, the players and the entire organization.
Well, Giovanni, let's go back to Sunday and the emotion that we speak of there. You had both national anthems being played with the Cosmos taking on the Ottawa Fury. You had a solid crowd of 12,000 at Hofstra. You had the Raul and Marco Senna send-off. What were the emotions like for you going into that match and in the build-up to kickoff? And how are those emotions standing with you right now?
No, it was, as you said, a magic night because a final of the NASL hasn't been played since 1972 in Hofstra Stadium. So being able to bring back a final there with such an energy, so many, such a big crowd. As you mentioned, retiring two great, like Raul and Senna, two teams, a Canadian team, a U.S. team, he had so many components this final. But for me, it's then only the fact that I was focused on one thing. It was to make sure that we put the best possible team, that we do the right, that we were prepared, and that at the end we were able to accomplish the task that was winning the championship. And now, of course, once the referee whistled, it's like the entire year came to a good ending. And I was just with my family sitting back watching the players enjoy, have a good time. And for me, that was a perfect moment, just seeing them enjoying everything that night had to bring.
In the days, hours, and minutes leading up to a match like this one, what were your conversations like with Raul and Marco Senna, considering everything that they were going through on a personal level?
It's great. It's an interesting question because they were as normal as they have always been, even though they had a lot of feelings inside. These are players that they know how to manage pressure, the players that know how to manage these emotions. They're always very balanced in everything that they do. So they look very calm, very sure, very ready to be able to perform and prepare, focus on the task. And at all moments, you know, I felt that they had the team in control. And when I spoke to the entire team, one of the things that I mentioned is the fact that these games are won by champions and players that have been in the final. And a lot of the players that we had, you know, besides Raul, Marcos, they were at the 2013 championship. So they've been there before. And I think that they gave them a nice, calm feeling of stepping in the field and doing the right things.
What did they do for your team this year on the pitch, considering the late stages of their careers that they were in? What did they do for you tactically this year?
No, more than tactically, they brought too many things on the table. I mean, they've been very competitive the entire life. They're still very competitive. They have a high standard of quality, so they push everything always to the max, from training, from games. They play each game as it is a final, and their passion to the sport is tremendous. They're a tremendous example for everyone of professionalism, but as well as, you know, as people outside the field. They are great people, and they are always in a very good balance. So for us, it was great because they really felt the club. They really wanted to make the New York Cosmos proud, and they worked very hard during the entire year for Raul and Marcos for this past 3 years.
Well, Giovanni, I want to talk with you now, kind of stemming off of this, this concept of mentoring young players. You're a guy who had a phenomenal playing career. You've transitioned into the coaching realm, and it's a difficult transition for a lot of people who had outstanding playing careers. And then you get guys who are still playing. They're towards the end of their outstanding playing careers, the likes of Raul and Marco Senna. And it's kind of a coin flip with this idea, because you get players who sometimes go, hey, I'm not a babysitter. I'm still a professional footballer. I can't worry about mentoring a bunch of young 20-somethings, a bunch of late teenagers. I got to worry about my own game. I'm not a coach yet. I'm not a babysitter. Then you get other guys on the full other end of it who go, I embrace this. I want to pass on my love and talent to a new generation of players who I'm glad to call my teammates here in the last couple of seasons of my career. How were they as far as mentoring the young guys? And speak to that challenge for a lot of older players.
No, definitely is part of the selection process, because you need to understand that when you're going to bring a player, you need to understand what he's going to be able to bring. And the players that we were able to bring, Marcos and Raul, yes, definitely they need themselves to focus and to perform the best and to prepare the best possible way for them to be able to perform in the matches. But also in their nature, they're leaders. They are true people that want to pass on the knowledge. They are constant communicators. They are tremendous professionals. They have a joy in passing along in making players around them better, and even more so in our team, because it became a family, it has become a family. So it's like sharing, you know, concepts and their experiences with the players inside the field, in communicating and giving instructions, and in trying to make the team better, but as well, sometimes in nights playing in Minnesota, in San Antonio, when we go back to the hotel and we're having dinner, and we stayed over, and you can hear Marcos and Raul sitting at a table with the players, telling them stories when they play the Champions League or when they play a game. And that definitely is something that the players all around absorbed, and they were always looking forward to listen. And they were very pleased to share that information, because they really felt very much part of the organization.
Giovanni, when you were really brought into the Cosmos fold and this renaissance of the Cosmos name, the brand, the club as a whole back in 2012, and this 28-year hiatus of the Cosmos name and the Cosmos club, you basically, I mean, along with help from others, you built this thing from scratch. I mean, this roster was a from-scratch operation. Talk about how proud you are seeing how far it's come in the last few years and where you would like to see it go from here.
Definitely a very good question. Extremely proud in what we have built so far. I've been with the organization since 2010. This project took a different level in 2012 when we decided to participate in the NASL pretending for 2013. At that moment, we were trying to build up a team from scratch, from an idea, try to contact players that didn't understand yet some of the things, going and start practicing with not uniforms, a few balls, and little by little add one player at the time. To see where we are right now, that we have been able to win two championships in 3 years, building a very good base, building a good family, and now having a practice facility, a field, trying to build a new stadium. So very proud of being able to build a very strong technical area in our club, and with the support of a very good ownership. We still, you know, have a lot to grow. We still want to continue to make the next steps in the technical side, in the organization. We definitely would love to have a stadium that we could call our own, that can be grass field, a facility that can provide some more things to be able to prepare the players the best possible way. And continue to grow. And that's something that we have put in ourselves year after year, but we're very proud. I'm extremely proud of the team and what we have accomplished in these past 3 years.
His name is Giovanni Savarese, the New York Cosmos manager, former Venezuelan international. We'll talk about his playing career a little bit later in the program. Staying centered on New York City when we get back right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned. It's the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Giovanni Savarese alongside yours truly, Nate Abarea, right here on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Tweet us your take on this conversation, all you Cosmos fans. Are never shy in the Twitter sphere. Get at me at NateWST. Keep it coming. Love the support of the show. Thank you so much for listening. Get all of us at World Soccer Talk and leave us a review on iTunes when you get a chance. Now, Giovanni, we talked there at the end of that last segment about coaching and this idea of transitioning into coaching and the difficulty that can come with it for a lot of former players. How did you deal with that? How did you transition from being a professional footballer into becoming a football manager?
Yeah, no, one thing that I always had, even when I was a player, I loved to keep the practices. I would write down the exercises that each coach will give us, try to pay attention in how the coaches dealt practices. So I had a passion for that, you know, for the future. I think a key moment was start to once I retired, that I start working for the Metro Stars and then Red Bulls, it was to work with the academy to create the youth and start working with developing players, starting from the bottom, being able to have the chance to grow more, to put in practice some of my ideas, see how they worked, and wait for the right moment to be able to accept a position in the professional level. So for me, it was a very good transition, very comfortable transition. Even though I felt that maybe I could have played a few more years, I felt very comfortable in switching and starting on the other life of soccer. It's something that I feel a passion for, and it was a good transition for me.
Giovanni, the coaching staff with the New York Cosmos is very New York City centric. Pretty much everybody that you guys have around the club, they have roots in the city and historic roots with New York soccer. Talk about that a little bit, and if that was what was designed on purpose, considering the international focus that a lot of other clubs around the New York area seem to be taking. You guys really kept it focused on the Big Apple.
It was, first of all, I have a special group of people working with me, every decision was well thought, and a lot of feelings had to go with it. Good feelings on that we will be able to work together on the same ideas, but also making sure that we cover the different areas. Carlos Llamosa, with plenty of experience playing the United States, but also with international understanding. He's a defender, was a defender, so he has a perspective as a defender. Brought in Aleko Skenderian, who plays as a forward, who's been around, knows a lot about college players, but also has a perspective of international football because of his family. Now he has the perspective as well as a forward. We have Memo Valencia, who's one of the goalkeepers of the U20 national team, U18, goalkeeper coach, and he's from Colombia as well. So he's been around this area, knows a lot of coaches, a lot of people here, Luke Sassano, Jack Gaeta, Luis, who's our fitness coach, who we found inside our organization, was working with the youth. So very fortunate to have a tremendous group who's been everyone involved in the playing side of the game, and they can give a very good perspective, but they also care a lot about the club.
Giovanni, when I hear you talk about your time with the Metro Stars, and I watch videos of the goals at the Meadowlands and your time in that Metro Stars jersey in the early days of MLS, when I hear you talk about your time off the pitch with the Red Bulls organization and everything we're talking about regarding the Cosmos right now, it points to something that I've heard from people, your peers, who just say, man, Giovanni Savarese, he bleeds New York City. New York City means so much to him. It's in his heart. And so I want to just throw it right to you right now here on this show. What does New York City mean to you on both a soccer level and just a life level?
It's a great being, a tremendous interaction with the New York City. I've been fortunate in some way that every path has taken me always to New York. I've been always prepared for any challenges anywhere. We're prepared to go to any city to coach anything. But in some way, it always came back to New York. And everything that has always happened makes me feel very proud about the city. Since I started in college in Long Island University, when I chose to come here from Venezuela, from there, playing with the Long Island Roughriders, winning a championship here in New York, and then being drafted by the New York Metro Stars. Then from that point, being able to come back and work for the Metro Stars Red Bull, being able to be now with the New York Cosmos. So it's been in my path always to have the fortune to be around here, and that every time makes me appreciate more this city, a city that is unbelievable, diverse, that has given so many good things, and now that is becoming more and more a soccer city. It has been tremendous for me. I have a great feeling from this city, and as I said, every path has always brought me back to be here, and I feel very proud of that.
Giovanni, I've always said that the diversity of New York City is one of the most authentically American things about the Big Apple. And as someone who immigrated from Venezuela, touch on that a little bit. Again, on both a soccer level and a life level in general, the importance of diversity and the immigrant roots of New York City and what that means to you.
It means a lot, because I think we have to represent, a team needs to represent the city that he participates. We need to be able to show the best of New York through our team. We are a team that is very diverse. We are a team that is trying to be not only a winning team, but that's trying at least to be able to be entertaining. We are a club that is trying to not only stay in New York, but be an ambassador from New York to the world. And we have to understand, first of all, what the city is in order to be able to represent it the right way. And I think for me, being here so long, understanding the city, but also giving me the opportunity to travel so much around the world with soccer and understand people even more, definitely gives me that understanding of what the city can offer and try to, in some way, represent it the best possible way through our team.
Giovanni, if you have an opportunity to go to a Yankees baseball game at Yankee Stadium, a New York Knicks basketball game at Madison Square Garden, or a fantastic Broadway show, which one are you choosing?
I'm a lover of everything that you have mentioned. I'm somebody that likes to learn, I will go to the three. Just I got to get a ticket for different dates in order that way they don't conflict. And I'm a passionate, I love the city, I love Broadway, I entertain going to see baseball, basketball, and hockey as well. I need to do a better job in trying to go to a football game if I can, but I enjoy very much the city in regards to everything that it can offer.
Favorite place where, if you need a meditative moment in New York City, a place to gather your thoughts, where are you going, Giovanni?
I think there are three places that I think are key for me in everything. You know, when I have to take a moment and think, definitely, first of all, in my house with my family. Second place, always a good restaurant. As I'm a lover of the good cuisine. But I think the most important place for me is always church, because it's a place in which I can connect. I can get my thoughts together and be able to look at things always with the time that it requires.
Again, his name is Giovanni Savarese, the manager of the New York Cosmos. In the next segment, we're taking a trip down to Venezuela, and then we're also going to take a trip across the pond over to Wales. We're talking Swansea City right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. My name is Nate Abaurea. Get at us on Twitter at World Soccer Talk. Get at me at Nate WST and follow at Sports Byline USA for updates on the program. Sit tight. We're back after this. Stay tuned. Hey there, welcome back in to World Soccer Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nate Abaurea, and our show today is brought to you by Audible. I've got one free book for you today. The real challenge with Audible, though, is to pick which book. They've got 180,000 titles, bestsellers, fiction, biographies, you name it. There's so many good soccer books to choose from, including the new business book from Sir Alex Ferguson entitled Leading, where he shares his insight about the leadership skills he used at that club that we know as Manchester United. Plus, there's the John Motson autobiography, the Bobby Charlton book entitled My Manchester United Years, and then there's The Secret Footballer's Guide to the Modern Game, and oh, so many more. Let me give you the link for your free audiobook, plus the Daily Digest of the New York Times or Wall Street Journal. All of that is available to you for free for the first 30 days. Cancel during the first 30 days, and you pay absolutely nothing, and the book is yours to keep. I think you'll be hooked. Audible is a great way to listen to your favorite authors on your commute or at the gym or wherever you need them. Here's the deal. Get your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/worldsoccertalk. Again, that is audibletrial.com/worldsoccertalk. Your first month is free. You get one audiobook. Sign up today. audibletrial.com/worldsoccertalk. Back to business here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network with Giovanni Savarese, the manager of the New York Cosmos. And before we talk about your playing career, Giovanni, which is something I'm very anxious to get into, I have to actually ask you something, one last thing regarding the New York Cosmos and the departure, the emotional departure of Marco Senna and Raul that we've spoken so much about. How do you replace guys like that? Can you replace guys like that? And are there any particular players that are on your radar right now as the manager? We've heard a lot about a Greek legend by the name of Georgios Samaras, whether it's the Greek man or anybody else. Is there any particular player that you're really looking to get in a Cosmos uniform? Giovanni, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. Did you get that last question?
Okay, yes, I did. So you're completely right to mention the fact that these players are irreplaceable. There's no way that we can bring all the players to take their spot and what they have brought to our club. We're going to have to bring different players, other players that will create something different, that will bring, again, something to continue growing. But it's impossible to replace Marcos and Raul. We are still, you know, talking to a couple interesting players. You mentioned Samaras. He's been training with us. He's a potential player for us next year. We have to see if that's something that will be finalized. There's other interesting players that we're trying to bring, and we're in the process right now. You know, right after a few days from winning the championship, we're working already. To contact and to talk to a few players that we're interested in and see if they can be part of a club for next year.
Are there any names that you can give us?
No, because I don't like to say until they're definitely signed. So hopefully soon, you know, we can tell you some good names.
All right, I look forward to checking back in with you, Giovanni. All right, let's take a trip back to the late 1990s and the start of Major League Soccer in this country and your time with the then New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. And one of the great little tidbits of your career is the goal scoring record with the Metro Stars. It's such a great factoid in MLS folklore, and that is that you scored the first 8 goals. There was also an own goal in there as well, but as far as goals scored by Metro Stars players, you scored the first 8 goals in club history. Talk about what that particular little stat means to you as far as starting something up from scratch. We talked about that earlier with the Cosmos. I mean, it's funny to think of that same principle there. And just talk about your time in the early era of Major League Soccer and how you look back on that here in 2015.
No, it's very interesting. It was a great experience to participate during that process. When we didn't know exactly what to expect about a new league coming in, MLS, trying to figure out as well where we will be drafted, what team will bring us in, and work every single day hard to stay on this team. So I was selected the second day by the Metro Stars, and for me it was a great moment because two things specifically. One, to be able to stay in New York. And the second thing, it was great to be able to play to one player that I saw growing up, like Roberto Donadoni. And for me, it was a great feeling once I knew I was going to be part of Major League Soccer. For me, it was a proud moment as well because I counted as one of the foreign players in those 4 slots that each team had. So there were a little bit more pressure. So for me, I had to perform. I have to be able to provide something that could maintain my position in the team. And for me, I said from the beginning that I will do my best as a forward to score goals, to work very hard to the organization, to represent the best possible way the logo, the shirt, the colors, the fans. And that's what I did. And it happened to be that at the beginning stage, I score all the goals for the Metro Stars. But more than me scoring, it was more of helping the team. Whoever could, and at that point was me with my goals that could carry some good results, and little by little the team continued to grow. So it was a great experience to be at that beginning of Major League Soccer. Seeing now what you have gotten to makes me feel very proud to have been one of the founders members of this league, and especially my time in New York. I will never forget because of the treatment that I received from the fans, and that they always supported me through the entire time that I was there.
We're going to jump forward a couple years in your playing career right now. We're going to hop on a plane and we're going to head to South Wales. That's right. We're going to Swansea City for this one, Giovanni. You spent portion of 2000 and 2001 playing for Swansea. You scored 10 goals for the Swans. And this was during a time of footballing turmoil on and off the pitch for Swansea City. And for those of the listeners familiar with the From a Jack to a King documentary, which I'm sure you've had a chance to check out, Giovanni, it's such an amazing time in the history of this club. And they're still playing at the Vetch Field Stadium, this run-down, nasty ground in South Wales. What are your memories like? Again, looking back on them now, what do you remember most about your time with Swansea City during that particular era?
No, I remember when John Hollins, my gaffer, asked me to travel to South Wales. I didn't know exactly what to expect. I was excited about playing in England because, of course, Swansea has always participated in the English league, so being able to participate in that league for me was exciting. Arriving there and getting to see the true soccer, how passionate the people are for their team, how the culture of going Saturday, preparing to support the team, and as you mentioned at that time, the team going through some up and down. I remember that time I came after a few games. The team didn't win at that point any games. And being able to score two goals, and I think was Stoke, the team that we play against, and we beat them 3-2 with two goals, 2-1, I'm sorry, with two goals that I scored. Right there from that moment, the fans, they treated me very special. I went to score 14 goals in that season. For me, playing in the Vetch was true core soccer, and being able to experience such a wonderful city, not only from the perspective of the city and the game, but also being able to have my first daughter be born in Swansea. This is a special feeling for that city, and I was very proud when I went back in this past December, and I was welcomed with such a joy by everyone that remembered my time that when I was there. Only 1 year, unfortunately. I would have wanted to stay even longer, unfortunately. At that time, as you said, there was difficulties with the club. The club was relegated to third division. There was an offer that made by Millwall going to play in championship that year that I couldn't pass. People understood. Even though my heart remained in Swansea, I had to make the move, but I always say appreciate every minute that was there, as well as me and my family enjoyed my time in Swansea.
Giovanni, you're a family man. You're such a family man. And talk a little bit more about that, the fact that your daughter was born in Swansea. So, I mean, not only do you have this playing legacy there, but your family is forever linked. Every time you look at your daughter, she's a Swan. She was born in Swansea. I mean, talk about what that means to you, that family connection that you'll forever have with Swansea City.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a constant reminder, my daughter, when I see her off our time in Wales. And that's one of the things why I said to her that I wanted to make sure that she had the chance to go back and see where we lived. She was, you know, so little. I wanted her to experience, to see where she was born, to be able to see the city, and be able to see where the club is now. She remained a Swansea fan as well, and it was great for her to be able to see everything once again. Remember that when she was born, one of the things the fans wanted me to do is to call her Jack. that's the only thing I couldn't do due to the fact that she was a girl. And but just the feelings and seeing some of the players that I play with and some of the assistant coaches that were with me still be with the club, it showed me how much they care about the organization and how much is in the heart of everyone there. I had the chance to go to the midfield and enjoy the time with the fans there. And one of the moments that remained for me was when I got to the middle and they started screaming, you know, Jack Pastor. It was for those that don't know, it's a compliment for the fans, because they really feel and that there's a mutual feeling of appreciation for the time that I spend there.
Do you have any good stories from that time that I've heard described by true Swansea supporters as one of the funkiest periods in the entire history of Swansea City as a football club? Do you have any good stories, anything off the pitch, in the town, or around the ground that you remember interacting with the supporters, anything that you could share with us?
I never forget the North Bank area, celebrating a goal, going there. How much passion they had to celebrate, how much they wanted us to fight to survive, the feeling of competition between Swansea and Cardiff in the final that we play in the Welsh Cup. That unfortunately, that game we ended up losing at home. But you know, the competition level, the pride of the club, how it is truly a club for the people and run by the people. The experience of going through the entire Wales country, going from down South Wales to Wrexham and North, going to different places there. It really was a remarkable experience. And for us, we tried to take advantage as well, that whenever we had a day off, you know, we had the chance to go and see the Stonehenge in London. And so we really grasped the best of, you know, Great Britain.
What goes through your mind when on a Saturday or Sunday morning you get a chance to watch a few minutes of a Swansea match and you see them, you know, competing for a European spot at their highest of highs now? I mean, what goes through your mind when you think back to the time that you were there and you see them doing what they're doing here now?
First, I see it as a fan, as someone that cares the best for the club, that hopes the best for the club, and that wanted to arrive as far as it could. I also have an enjoyment because I think it's a club that tries to stay true to an idea of soccer and tries to play an entertaining style. Whoever the coach will be coming in, at least it tries to maintain the same philosophy. So for me, it's just a joy watching the club, you know, arrive with what it is. And I'm a firm believer that I never think about what if. I'm always somebody that said thanks for the opportunity, and thanks for giving me everything that I had at that moment, and I'm thankful for everything that I had in Swansea, and I follow with a lot of joy, you know, the very, very close Swansea City every game that they have.
All right, Giovanni, we went to Venezuela, we went to South Wales, and let's round this thing up, going right back where we started, to New York City. We've got a lot of Cosmos fans that listen to this show. We've only got 40 seconds left here with you, but in that brief time, anything that you'd like to say to the Cosmos Nation out there listening?
That we have gone in this path of rebuilding this club. It's historical. A club that we want to make sure that respects the past, but that builds a new future. And in order to be able to create something amazing, we need the help of everyone, especially the fans that come to support us all the time. We have done great. There's so much more that we need to do, and we need to work every single day to make this club proud. And we hope that we can get more and more people that are there, that care about the club, and that I'm sure will be in this path for the future.
Giovanni Savarese, this has been a great pleasure and privilege having you on the show. You're welcome back anytime. And again, really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
No, thank you. It was enjoyable, and thank you for the time.
Again, that was Giovanni Savarese, former Venezuela international and the current manager of the New York Cosmos. Back to take the express train home after this. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. If you're out on a date and you bring it on late, it's a sin. Just ain't all this using. Have you gotten in on Fubo TV yet? You got to do it. El Clasico coming up this weekend. Madrid, Barcelona, and you know the game is on BN Sports here in the U.S. But if you don't get BN on your cable or satellite, no need to worry. You can watch the game live or on demand with Fubo TV, a completely legal streaming service featuring tons of games each week from not only La Liga, but MLS, Liga MX, Serie A, English Championship, Capital One Cup, and a whole lot more. You get BN, BN Español, Gol TV, Univision Deportes, Unamas, Fusion, so much more. Fubo TV, DVR functionality, works on your smartphone, computador, tablet, Roku, Amazon Fire, and the Apple TV. Sign up for your free 24-hour trial today, worldsoccertalk.com/FuboTV. Thanks to Fubo. Thanks to the gaffer. Thanks to Giovanni Savarese. Thanks to Dom Jimenez. My name's Nate Abarea. I will talk to you tomorrow. World Soccer Talk Radio signing off.